The following presentation was recorded at a Christian-led education workshop. More information at clp.org.
Welcome to a second language and enriching choice of study. How many of you know more than one language? Very good. What Pete said this morning about knowing one language and being an American is pretty true. In Europe and a lot of other countries, they're teaching second and third languages in elementary school. In our school, some of the students that get their work done early, sometimes we offer speedy Spanish. In high school, it's an elective. We go with CLE's three diploma system, which is the academic. There, foreign language is required. We go with the general. There, it's an elective. And then vocational, it's not offered for there. And I've been trying to plant the seeds to get a required subject in order to graduate. In one of our other workshops, there was one teacher there that said they are doing the same thing. And he said, now wait a minute. There's so much to study and so much to learn. Why are you going to require a subject or another language? Hopefully by the time we're done with this workshop, you understand where I'm coming from. A second language and enriching choice of study. Why study a second language? To get the needed high school credits? To study something different? Make the most of your exciting choice. It will open doors to understand and appreciate God's people and other cultures. We look at other people who speak languages that we can't speak, and we have a tendency to think they're strange because they speak different. But how do we look to them? I know sometimes we, missionaries in Guatemala, when we once in a while have a discussion on Spanish and how some of the things don't make sense. Well, they were quick to come back and tell us English doesn't make sense. No and no. Which one do you use? There, there, and there. Rain, rain. Is there a third rain? All of those. But, you know, when we grew up with something, I was just telling someone at lunchtime that the first 3 years of our life were the easiest time to learn a language. Someone was telling us at lunchtime that they knew of a family that had five languages. And they wanted their children to speak all five languages, so they would set a time. And, okay, now this time we're only speaking this language. Next time, I don't know if it was a week or how long it was, we're only speaking the next language. Well, they had a child that was getting older and still wasn't talking at all. None of the languages. So they took him to a speech therapist or someone, and they asked him about it. And they said, don't worry, when they start talking, they'll have all five. It's there. One of the things we found out in Guatemala was that people would come to the mission field not knowing Spanish, and they would say, do you know Spanish? Well, I studied it in high school, but no, I don't know it. But the ones that studied it in high school, it came very quickly. It was in the subconscious, and it soon came back. Let's look at language. Language is human speech, the ability to communicate by this means, a system of vocal sounds and a combination of such sounds to which meaning is attributed, used for the expression or communication of thoughts and feelings and the written representation of such a system. That's Webster. Language comes from the Latin word lingua, which actually means tongue. And in Spanish, you talk about lingua. Lengua, it's actually lengua in Spanish, which is tongue, and it's also language. It's all the same word. So that's where the root comes from. The basic form of language is speech. We write, but language we probably use more is speaking. And speech is unique to humans. You can get a parrot to say words, but they don't think about what they're saying, or they just repeat something they've learned. My boy, he's had a troubled childhood. He was five when he came, and a lot of issues in his life, but he's 11 now. We got him a St. Bernard dog this summer, and they get along just fine most of the time. But they roll around the ground, and they play high fives and all kinds of things. And she said, he says that he talks to Abby and Abby talks to him. That's him, you know. But he does talk to her. I don't doubt that, as he often talks to her. But really, she does not talk back. She expresses herself some when she's happy or when she's afraid, but real speech is unique to humans. And we all use a language. It could be English, German, French, Spanish, Russian, sign language. Anyone know sign language in here? That's a language. Someone who is deaf and has never heard a sound, they are locked in themselves. But once they understand sign language, they can express themselves. If you have experience with that, that's amazing how that, their character, not the character, but their person comes out when they're able to express themselves. We're all born without a language. We all come into this world without a language. We don't have anything. But then we all have a first language. That's what we learn first. And we adopted a girl from Guatemala. And, of course, her first language at the beginning would have been Spanish. But we got her at 10 months. And, no, I guess actually her first language would have been an Indian dialect, Cachiquel. But she learned Spanish, but then she was with us and she learned English. We came home from Guatemala when she was 5. She's 16 now and she knows very little. She basically forgot it. When she went in to get her driver's test or do the examination for the permit, they asked her if she wants to take it in Spanish. Why did they ask that? Because she's dark, she's Hispanic, and they thought that would be her first language. But it's not, because she learned English. English is her first language. We all have a first language. We express thoughts and feelings in this language. We have a fellow in our church that oftentimes when in Sunday school class or something, he'll come and he'll say, but in the German it says this. It expresses it better in German. Well, I think that about Spanish. There's some words that in Spanish just say it better. But we express ourselves, we express feeling in our language, usually our first language. The second language is a language we put forth effort to learn after we have a first language. In 2200 BC, which is the time of the Tower of Babel, not too long after the flood, all the speech was the same, the whole world. I read there Genesis 11:1. Genesis 11:1, and the whole earth was of one speech and of one language. In the original, it actually has the idea of one lip, one language, one speech. And if you read down over this chapter, the people here wanted a name. That's why they built the Tower of Babel. They wanted a name. They rebelled against God. In 9:1, it says, and God blessed Noah, that was after the flood, and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, they were supposed to spread out over the whole earth. And what did they do? They came together. Isn't that so typical of man? Instead of obedience and spreading out over the whole earth, they come together. I also believe that they were building that tower to get it high enough so that if the flood comes again, they have a place to go. But they forgot that God promised that it would never come again. So they wanted a name. They rebelled against God. God came down and saw what they were doing. So he confounded the languages. Can you imagine that first day? They were building. Well, you could think you were building the school building here. What if all of a sudden everybody would be speaking a different language? Well, hand me that two before. What? The two before. What? All complete different languages. And no wonder. Then they scattered. They scattered throughout the whole earth. And that language barrier, there was people that learned different languages, but that language barrier was really never crossed again or bridged until Acts. And I never realized that until I studied for this. And I was so blessed. In Acts, during the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came down and Peter spoke. And I think it's like 14 languages. 13 or 14 languages. He didn't realize that they could all understand, but the Holy Spirit made them understand in all different languages. The Holy Spirit bridged that gap over those languages. And God wanted each one to hear the message of salvation. God is the same today. He wants everyone in every language to hear it. And Acts 1:8 says that we are to be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Today there are at least 3,000 languages across the world, and we're content with one. We have the opportunity, the privilege of learning more. What I hope to do is give some thoughts on why learn a second language, and then we want to have a Spanish lesson. Anyone speak Spanish? Okay, we want to learn a few more today. I'd like to have a Spanish lesson. Okay, why study a second language? Well, one of the reasons is understanding God's people in different cultures. Without language, we don't understand why people do what they do. We don't understand. It seems weird to us. It seems we don't understand. But learning a language helps us understand how that people group thinks. Whenever we were in Guatemala, Mennonite Air Missions, their goal is to go into areas that have no roads. They take an airplane and go and reach areas that have no roads. The ultimate goal is to have a native man ordained in that place. The reason that is because no one knows better how that people group thinks than one of their own. We missionaries, you know, we go in and we think we have the good ideas, and they have antique farming practices, and they do things weird, and we want to help them all out. But they think different than we do. And if we're just open to learn about them and their languages and understand them, they can teach us a lot. Because every person has a story to tell. I have that there. Every person on the face of the earth has a story to tell. Learning a language gives us a glimpse of traditions, customs, and ways. And not all customs and ways are bad. Customs, culture is the way we do things. There are some things in other cultures that are not good, but not everything in the U.S. culture is good either. In fact, there are many things that are sort of twisted. But we understand God's people in different cultures. Understand how they think, understand the way they do things. One of the things in Guatemala, they plant corn. And the way they plant corn usually is they make a big hill of ground. And actually they start out with a small one. They plant like 3 or 4 seeds in that hole, cover it up, and then they go on and make another one, another one. Well, you know, here in the U.S., we plant corn right. We make a row and we put it in. Well, see, as the corn grows over the summer, they hoe this, and until harvest, they have a pile of dirt, foot and a half high, up around this corn stalk. Well, again, we think we got it, so we put it in a row, you know, cover it up. And this is the way you plant corn. This corn grows 15 feet high. I planted some in our little lot there by our house, and I had to take a hoe and reach up to get the ears off. That's how tall the corn was. Guess what happened when the wind comes to my corn? Guess what happens to their corn? Pretty much stays straight. But you know, we have to be open to learn from them. Another reason we study a second language is to help, is enables communication with many people around us. One of the exciting things about ministry in the cities is the world comes to us. Whether New York City or I'm sure Minneapolis is the same way. I have the privilege of going to LA a couple times a year, and there are people from all over the world come to the U.S., come to these cities. And there are communities in these cities that have just those people. Downtown Rosemead, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, a lot of the signs are in, it's either Korean or Chinese. You go into their markets, it's Asian. Their restaurants, you go to other places, it's Russian. They're actually Armenian. Armenian communities, there are Asian communities, there are just from all over the world in different places. If you can talk to them, the light comes on in their face. After I learned Spanish, came back from Guatemala, I used to drive truck and go to New Jersey or anywhere, basically, and back up to unload, and here'd come a Mexican, and I said, ¿Cómo estás? Foo! He would look at me. One time in a Walmart, I was delivering milk to a Walmart store, and this man was working there, and I asked him something in English, and he just went like that and went to get someone to help him. Here he was Spanish, and he couldn't talk English, and he was working at Walmart. Well, then I started talking to him in Spanish. But the world comes to us, and has been for a number of years, and if we learn the language, we can communicate with that people group. Foreign students, there are many, many foreign students come. Many times those students are open to the gospel because they come from Iraq, they come from India, they come from all over the world. They come to the United States, they're lonely. And if you have someone that can talk their language and work with them, well, that's a tremendous privilege. Prison ministry. If there's a people group on the street, there's usually a part of that group's in prison. In Pennsylvania, about 10% of the prisoners in the state prisons are Hispanic. And I have the privilege of going in every week and having Bible study with the Spanish-speaking people. Some dear brothers in prison. Street ministry, immigrants, anyone who doesn't talk the language, the normal, or the language of the recognized language of the country, they're an opportunity if we know that language. It enables obedience to the command to be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, many times students say, when will I ever use that? Math, algebra, when will I ever use science? History, when will I ever use that? Well, the same thing can be said and is said about a foreign language, but we don't know what God has for us. We don't know where He might call us or what He might ask us to do. Learning a language enables us to help in obedience to the command to be witnesses. It helps us in understanding language study, the connection of languages, communication on foreign fields, and also aids in travel. If you can't communicate, if I can't communicate, there's a fear there. I can remember going to, when we first went to Guatemala, one of the single ladies wrote on a piece of paper, ¿Cuánto cuesta? How much? And my job as house parent was to go downtown to the market and buy vegetables for the mission. So I would go down there and I would look at vegetables. It was an open air market. And I look at my paper and I would say, ¿Cuánto cuesta? And point to whatever it was. You know, the first few times I did that, that was awful scary. And also, I was asked to go downtown and take people downtown, go to the bus station, go to the hospital. And I used to sweat. I used to be worried about getting there and getting back. I'd get back. Whew, I got back. By that time, they'd say, okay, we need you to go so-and-so. Oh. And I remember one day I was driving downtown, you know, I'm not afraid anymore. And guess why? I learned the language enough that if I got lost, I could ask. If I needed to use a telephone, I could ask. We didn't have cell phones then. But it takes away the fear because you're able to communicate. And also is why I study a second language is to learn language connections, how languages are connected. Some languages are Latin-based, so they're very similar. Let me need some of your words from your German, or what do you speak?
Russian.
Why am I teaching this class? Russian takes like 8,000 hours to learn.
It's tough.
Whoa. Okay, how do you say this word in English?
Labor.
How do you say it in Spanish?
Labor.
Right. Same word. Okay. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Espíritu Santo. Now, how do you do it in Russian? I don't know why I'm teaching this language. I'm going to learn this. Okay, there you have it. Now say it again.
Duk Svetoy.
Duk Svetoy.
Yes.
Duk Svetoy.
Basically means the Holy Spirit, friend, all in one. It's hard to explain that, but yeah.
Okay, since we have this, we're going to learn it. All right. Holy Spirit, now let's all say it. Espíritu Santo. Espíritu Santo. Now say it again for us.
Duk Svetoy.
Duk Svetoy. Okay. Very good. By the way, I have a question about Russian. How many of the letters are the same as English?
Oh, well, that's some. I don't have the exact number, but some are same. It doesn't mean they're the same sound.
Okay.
And some are even reversed, and some are the same. So I think they have 32 letters to their alphabet.
Okay. What's the name of the first one?
D, the U sound. It's the G at the end that gives you the K sound. The C is the S sound. The B is the E sound. V, Sviet. And the E says a Y. It's two sounds in one. T is the same. And our OI is OI, and that is OE, and it makes OI.
Svetoy.
Svetoy.
Okay. Very good. I'm glad you're in this class. We're going to learn more than Spanish. Okay, learning a second language opens the door to multiple languages. Whenever you learn one, learn a second language, then I believe that opens you up to learning more. It takes away part of the fear because you've already done it. Now I have a question. Did you learn that from little up, or did you learn that after you...
Oh, no, just a few years I've been studying. Do you want me to tell the story, or no?
If you want to, yeah, sure.
In our area, I live 2 miles east of here, there was a large Russian and Ukrainian and Moldovan settlement in our area. We were about 50% American, 50%. And we're in a very rural area like this. And my children's friends all spoke another language, and they wanted help teaching their children homeschool, and I was a teacher. So I said, sure, and they wanted to pay me, and I said, no, I've always wanted to learn another language. So they started teaching me that, and that's honestly when I started learning about head coverings and things like that. It was Christian culture, Russian culture that moved in. And since wearing the head coverings, I'll find myself in our larger towns, and women will come up to me, and they've probably mail order brides into this culture. And Lika Vitya-Prosky, they'll come up to you speak Russian because this is a symbol of a Christian woman.
Okay.
Russian, and if their husbands have left them, they have nowhere to go. And so then I can, with my husband and family, we find the churches for them and get them homes and help them get settled. And hopefully they can reconcile with their husbands, and their husbands can come to the Lord. That I think is a wonderful blessing.
Oh, yeah. But it's a whole mission field right there.
Yeah, and that I never knew of.
Very good. I'm so glad you're here. So how long did it take you to learn Russian that you were able to communicate comfortably?
I think among friends, 2 years. I think I've studied it 4. I don't know that I feel 100% comfortable, but I can give it a go.
You must be very diligent. I know some missionaries in the Ukraine have been there 6 or 8 years and still use an interpreter or something. Yeah. Very good. So there's right around here. Yeah. Okay, any other comments or questions you have on so far? By the way, some of you know, is it German or Pennsylvania Dutch?
Pennsylvania Dutch.
How do you say Holy Spirit in Pennsylvania Dutch? We gotta get that yet.
Oh,
Holy Spirit's fine. And how do you write that?
Well, I'm not a good speller in English. H-I-H-I-E-R-E-I. No, that's wrong. I can talk to her right now. L-I-C-H. Is there an A on there, Lana? I think maybe. Then Geist is at the end of the E-I-G-E-H-E-I. S-H-E-I. No, that doesn't look quite right. It's something you don't want. That might be pretty close.
Highly Geist.
There's no H in Geist. Yeah, cut off the first H.
This one.
We were taught in the Dutch to see our church never preached it.
Oh, okay.
We have to go to the team people before. Well, then they really like to
do it. I think they use a nice little
thing. Okay.
That would actually be the German.
It would be the German. Yeah, German.
I love
the horses on the Bible is from German.
They have a Bible. They have a New Testament. Yeah. Okay. Well, as we go along here, we're going to add Russian to our words here. Let's go to page 3. All languages consists of a set of individual sounds produced by the vocal organs. And I have them listed there, the throat, the nose, the palate, the tongue, the palate, the teeth, and the lips. And you say, well, I don't use my nose to talk. Don't you? Sure we use our nose to talk. How about our teeth? Little first grader, he goes, I lost my teeth last night. You know, we use all those parts of our mouth and to make sounds. And these sounds are put together in a particular way to produce words, and then we understand what the word means. And I have some examples there. Dog is in English, perro in Spanish, cane in Italian, and Russian is
sabaka.
Then there are words for word endings and word arrangements. For English, dogs, you just add an S. For Spanish, it's the same way, perros. For Italian, you change the E to an I, cani. Instead of cane, it's cani. And Russian?
It's either our capital N backwards, E, a very high and clear E sound, or it's a lowercase B with an L, which is their E sound.
So instead of say laka, you would say?
Sabaki.
Okay, more than one. See, there's four languages, and they all have, two of them have, just add an S, and two of them change the last part of the word. And we accept that in our language. One, two, three-year-olds accept that. But those ones of us that are older, you know, we struggle. Why do we do it that way? But we have to accept it. And then, whenever you put them together in sentences, in English you say, I see her. In Spanish you say, yo la veo, which is, I her see. Okay? Yo la veo. Let's say that together. Yo la veo. How would you say that in Russian? Alviju Shabachku. Ya Viju. Sabachku.
Well, that's a little dog. Ya Viju
Sabachku. You know, that's interesting. You just changed it a little bit for a little one for a big one. Our daughter's name is Kayla. Actually, that's not the way you say it. Do it right in Spanish, but you would say, for little Kayla, is Kelita. For brother is hermano. For little brother is hermanito. You actually change the word to mean something little. Okay? Okay. Very good. Then there's 3 points to learning a language. We learn to produce a new set of sounds, and this is what we've been doing. The letters mean are different sounds. Then you learn to accept new words for given meanings. Say vaca. Sabaka is dog. So I'm going to, you know, we Learn Russian. It's not a dog. It's not a perro. It's sevaka. Sevaka. We learn to accept that. And then learn new rules for how to use the new words. Once we have the words, then we need to put them together in sentences. And 1, 2, 3-year-olds do it all the time. Don't think anything of it. We struggle with it. But it's possible to bridge that gap. I have some words here, some letters here. On your handout, I think if you look down, it's M. I think yours has an N with a little line on top. Is that correct? Is that what? That is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the regular N first, and then the other N. Somehow, in our producing those handouts, we have one is any, and the other is any, and it means completely different. The meaning is different. So you have the A, which is A. You have the B, which is Be. C is Se. Then you have the CH, that's considered a letter in Spanish. Che. Then the D is De. E is E. F is Efe. G is He. It's like an H sound, He. Then the H is Achi, and it's a silent letter. H never has a sound in Spanish. It's always silent. Then the I is I. J is Jota. K is Ka. I is L. And then you have double L is considered a letter as well. Eye, or some people say double L. And Emi, Eni, and Enye. Get an N, it's a nya sound. I'm trying to think which. Yeah, then Coruña and España would both have your little lines on top of your N. That little line can change the different meaning of a word. Ordenar is to ordain, like in church to ordain a minister or ordain something. And if you just add that, that's to milk your cow. Ordeñar. That's the only difference. And I don't know how many of you have ever heard of William McGrath. Well, he lived in Costa Rica for a while. And he was down there and they were having an ordination. And he said, estamos aquí esta noche para ordeñar nuestro hermano. We are here this evening to, what he wanted to say was ordain our brother. But he used the ordeñar instead of ordenar. But you know what we have to do then? Just accept it. As we're learning languages, we're going to mess up. I work with a Russian fella. He drives one of the other delivery trucks. And his name is Peter. Is that Peter?
Yeah.
But it's Pyotr. Mm-hmm. Pyotr. And so, of course, we always say Peter Akimov. But it's Pyotr Akimov. And, we just accept that. Okay, I'll keep going here. O is O. P is P. Q. R. R, got that, double R, S, T, U, B, W, B, X, Y, Z. This is actually taken out of this Spanish book from CLE. This is actually the curriculum I teach in our school. This is pretty heavy. We usually take 5 quarters or 6 quarters to teach it. In other words, a year and a quarter or a year and a half to go through 10 light units. CLE also has a Greek. I should say that there are tapes with this, but my students like when I teach it rather than listen to the tapes. And this here is does not have tapes with it. You're basically just learning how to write it and read it. You don't. It's not really how to speak it. Now, for younger students, Spanish has CLE has these two books, and they have CDs that go with them. But there are many others. Rosetta Stone is one that has a lot of. That's more to learn to speak it. There are other publishers that have language, other languages available. Okay, I think we can say the ABCs in Spanish. I'll read down a number of them again, and you listen carefully, and then we'll go down over them together. A, B, C, C, D, E, F, H, H, I, J, K, L, A, M, N, N, O, P, Q, R, R, S, T, U, B, W, X, Y, Z. Okay? All together. A, B, C, C, D, E, F, H, H, I, J, K, L, A, Y, M, N, Y. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Let's start with M. M, N, N, Y, O, P, Q, R, R, S, T, U, B, W, X, Y, Z. Now, we get used to saying the words. And I'm sure you can know that in Russian, words, the first time you hear them, but after you learn to say them, whenever they're pronounced wrong, you can tell it. One of the words, and we'll get into that, is when you count, the number three in Spanish is T-R-E-S, tres. But a lot of gringos, or people that's not their first language, say tres. And that just really grates once you get to know it. But one of the things about learning a language I mentioned before, when we mess up, we just accept it. If you're not afraid to be embarrassed when you're learning it, you'll learn the language much faster. But again, fear keeps you from doing it. And people that were always afraid, afraid of messing up, usually took a while to learn the language. Many times when people are trying to learn language, they are very forgiving. The people that speak that language, they are very forgiving. And it is very helpful. Okay, let's look at the bottom of page 4. For I is yo. For you is usted. And for we is nosotros. That seems to be one that's hard to get in your mind. Is when we talk about we have a big long word, nosotros. That's we. What is we in Russian?
Muy.
Muy.
It's the E sound in your neck and the M sound.
Muy. Muy. Okay. Then there's another thing I'm not sure how it is in Russian, but in Spanish, every noun is either masculine or feminine. La silla, it's feminine. La mesa, feminine. El libro, masculine. Okay? Everything, la caja, feminine, the box. Everything is masculine or feminine, so your adjectives change. Like you say, I am a teacher. Yo soy un maestro. I am a teacher. But when she says, I am a teacher, she says, yo soy una maestra. Because she's feminine. Now, I have a class of 5 girls that have taken Spanish right now, and they think Spanish is not fair. Because whenever you have boys, you use masculine. When you have girls, you use feminine, but whenever you have both, you use the masculine. Okay? So if we would say, we are teachers, we would say, somos maestros, because it's both. It's not a reflection on masculine or feminine. Of course, they're teenagers, so they get into that, but that's the way the language is. But you are a teacher. The verb changes. I am a teacher. I should write this down. I am a teacher. Am. The verb is ser, which is to be. So you say, yo soy un maestro. That's the verb. You say, then there's a to form, which is an endearing term. You would say to your brothers, your sisters, your parents, tú eres un maestro. And you would say usted, this is the you, this is the formal. Usted es un maestro. We are teachers. Somos maestros. They are teachers. Son maestros. Okay, this is the present tense. I think Spanish has 15 tenses. Okay?
Seven.
Russia has seven. this is the present tense. And then the past tense for these same ones, yo fui un maestro, I was. Fuiste, fue, fuimos, and fueron. Okay, this is you were a teacher in the past. You're going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a teacher. Será. Serás. Será. There needs to be a tilde on there. Seremos. Seremos. And serán. Seramos. Then those are the three basic ones. But then there's also I had been a teacher, or I could be a teacher, or I would have been a teacher, and every one of those is different. But it's, if you learn one at a time, verbs is a very important thing to learn. You have present, past, and future, and change like that does? Okay. But the interesting thing is then, whenever you're talking, lots of times you'll omit the subject. At least in Spanish, to omit the subject and just say the verb, and then somos maestros, instead of saying nosotros somos maestros. I don't know if we do that in Russian or not.
I have phrases, but this is where my speaking breaks down.
Ah.
Combination.
Okay. Another thing, you say things differently, like, I am 46 years old. In Spanish, you say, yo tengo 46 años. I have 26 years. You are not 46 years. You have that many. Whenever you're hungry, you don't say, I am hungry. Yo soy hambre. You say, I have hunger. Yo tengo hambre. So those are things that, you know, we have to learn as we learn a language. I'm talking a whole bunch again. Anyone have anything to share? Okay, let's go to page 5. One of the things we usually try to do is incorporate Bible verses and Bible terminology in learning a language. It's amazing. When my family and I were in Guatemala, my wife learned about everything about the kitchen and food. I learned more of things about the shop. I used to go down to the parts store and try to get parts for the vehicles, and I'd say, have we spoken signs and wonders? I made signs and they wondered. But, you know, you learn, what can I say? You learn what you're involved in. My wife was involved in the kitchen, so that's where she concentrated her study. There we have John 3:16. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo, que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierde, mas tenga vida eterna. Juan 3:16. Can you say it in Russian?
I'm studying it right now. I can get to begotten son.
Okay, can you share that with us? I'm going to say very good. I don't know. Thank you for that. Okay. There you have the numbers. I was going to go over them. Well, let's read down over them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then 11 is 11, 12 is 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 is 16, which is 10 and 6. Literally, it's 10 and 6. 17 is 10 and 7. How is it in?
It starts at 11
And then 21 is 21, 20 and 1. Okay. Can you, 1 through 10?
Vin, dva, tri, četiri, pět, šest, sedm, osm, devět,
deset. Ten. Diez. Okay. Very good. I hope this was interesting for you and an encouragement, and those of our learning, we keep on learning. Lord bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.